Hey friends, this is Mario J. Radford. I'm the pastor of Growth Point Church, and this is our podcast. I pray that it connects, leads, and maybe introduces you to a growing and life-changing relationship with Jesus. Now let's go into the message.
In 2007, I inherited two of those on the picture. Not the one under the hair of the person on my left side. He wasn't in the picture yet, but he was probably on the mind, but he wasn't in the picture. but when we got married, Darius and Tori, I think, were 8 and 9 at that time. I think 7 or 8. Which one was it? 7 or 8. I was 2 years, 1 year off. They were 7 and 8. And I remember when they came into the picture, first of all, their dad was in a situation where he was not in their life at that particular time. I stepped into the picture and I had never been a father before, and I didn't know what that looked like. I remember every time Mel and I tried to go on a date, we couldn't go on a date because Darius would always be with us everywhere we went. And we would always suggest he go somewhere else, but he felt like if we went out, he should go out too. It's not like that now, but it was like that at that time. And I remember the very night we got engaged, I had dropped Mel off to get something. We dropped to get the kids. And I remember Tori had peeked her head out the door and she said, "Thank you." After we got engaged, my children, we have a peculiar relationship with each other, where it is that they say some things to their mom, they say a lot of things to me. And I have promised them that they will never hear it again. There are some things that they have experienced that they have had in their life that I will take to my grave, and Mel gets mad at me because she wants me to say things, but I always wanted to be the parent that I cover them without judging them. And I feel that that's what God does, and that's what I have done for them. But it's funny because a lot of times when we go out, every time people see us, they always say, "Tori looks just like you." My dad to this day says, "Are you sure that you and Belle didn't meet until later on?" And it's subsequently, it's funny because years ago, my dad preached at the very church. He did a revival at the very church Mel grew up in, First Corinthian Baptist Church. And they feel like that's when it happened. That he was there for revival, and when he came for revival, that we snuck off somewhere and Tori was born. But that's not true, because I don't even remember seeing Mel if she was there. But we have a peculiar relationship, and I learned from my one of my grandmothers, Viola number two. My granddaddy got married. My great grandfather got married twice, and when the first Viola died on my birthday, he got married 6 or 9 months later to another lady in the church named Viola. So I don't know what was going on with that, but he did. And I remember he's gone on, we can't judge him, but I remember that when he people would ask her, "Are those your step grandchildren?" And she said, "Who stepped on them?" He said, "They're my grandchildren. It doesn't have anything to do with step or any of that type of stuff." And that's what I taught our children. I always taught them, and they will always hear me say, "You can never say anything about your dad to me and make us fight each other, because you just have two dads. You don't have one better, you don't want to have lesser, you have two dads." And I have established that since they were young, and I don't let anybody say, "Well, how do you feel with your stepchildren?" I'm like, "I don't have any, I have children." If you feed them long enough, they do begin to look like you. But we have three children. Miles came along the way, and Miles' personality has continued to bud and continue to grow. Y'all saw him chilling on the keyboard a few Sundays ago. He had no emotions, just chilling, just playing and chilling, just like, "I'm gonna do this." But they are all our children, and they all have some version of me, even if it's not by blood, but it's through relationship. And I wanna talk to you about that if you are around Jesus long enough, there'll be certain traits that you'll pick up, even if you weren't born biologically into the family. I hope you've got your notes now. I did text them out. For those of you who don't have them, I hope that they work now. For those, if someone doesn't work, just text them. They work. Someone put their thumbs up. They work. So children who have been adopted into the family, I feel like preaching, Brandon. Children who have been adopted are placed in a family that is not their own biologically. Christians who have been taken out of Adam, first, the fleshly man, have been placed into Christ, and we have been adopted and made heirs. Put that other picture up there, because I think there's a picture. I want to make sure y'all know the mother. There she is right there, Mel. So I didn't birth those children. They came out of Mel. The dog we didn't birth, but he came as a result of the family. When it comes to adoption, I want you to know that I am a son of God. You are a daughter of God or a son or a child of God. And in Romans, this version we're talking about today, Romans 8 chapter verse 15, God explains how it happened. It says, we did not receive a spirit that made us slaves again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, or meaning adoption. Someone say adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I want to teach this, and I want to explain some words to you you may not have heard before. They may not be in your vocabulary, but I want to make sure that they are. The first thing I want you to know about belonging is how I know I belong. It's because first, I have been regenerated by rebirth. Be regenerated. Some of you don't know the word regenerate, and I'm going to explain it to you because I want you to understand it. It's important that you know this, Wes, as a result of your salvation. Regeneration, first of all, there's a history that you need to know about God adopting you. God orchestrated something in all of our lives that once we heard the gospel and once we heard about Christ's work, he then caused us all to be regenerated. Someone say regenerated. In the biology world or the science world, regeneration in biology is the process of which some organisms are replaced or restored. If a lost or amputated body part is cut off, then that organ or that tissue has a way of replacing itself. That once it comes off, then it can naturally replace itself. Sometimes, though, when you get older, the replacing itself gets a little bit harder and longer. But some things, when they are cut off, it can be replaced. And I want to pause there parenthetically for many of you all who some things have been cut off in your life and you think that it can't be restored. But God is in the business of restoration because it is a regeneration process. You will never lose a friend that he won't put in a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer. He will make sure that whatever you lost, he will restore. Someone say, I'll get restored. I'll get restored. Songwriter said, Vashon says, sooner or later, it will turn in my favor. It will turn around for me. And I want you to don't get weary in well-doing. I'm teaching, but I feel the preacher rising up sometimes. Don't get weary. In due season, it will be restored. Someone say, I'll get restored. He won't leave you broke forever. So according to the biology, but you got to get a job or start a business. You can't be an entrepreneur and sit at home on Facebook. So anyhow, by such regeneration, whole organisms may dramatically replace substantial portions of themselves. But when it comes to, that's naturally, but when it comes to the Bible, the Bible's area of regeneration is called being born again. It's replacing an old part with a new part. It's replacing an old life with a new life. John, the third chapter, verse 26, John, the third chapter, verse 2 through 6 says this. Jesus came to Nicodemus. He came to him. And when he came to Nicodemus, Nicodemus said to him, he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. He said, for no one can do these things or these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered, truly I say to you, one version says, verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born again, someone say again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he either enter in a second time to his mother's womb? Jesus said, truly I tell you, unless one is regenerated, born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. What that means is, for those of you who have a hard time understanding that, what he's saying is, unless your life is changed, you won't understand what I'm doing. There are some things that you won't understand unless you've been born again. For some of you, your issue is that you're saying, the way I was born, I don't like it. Jesus said, it's okay you don't like it. That's why you have to be born again. Because if you're born again, it replaces my old parts with something that is new. It's the process of regeneration. That once he cuts off something, he never cuts off something without giving you something else. And that's what many of us have struggled with when it comes to deliverance. That when he cuts off an area of your life that you struggled with, he cut it off to give you something else. But instead of you getting something else, you went back to what he cut off. And the reason you're miserable is because you're in a relationship with something he cut off. And you're trying to have a habit was something he cut off. But when he regenerates you and when he cuts something off, you are not to go back and be entangled again with a yoke of bondage, but you're supposed to be able to walk into the newness of life, because he cut it off for a reason, not for you to be in a strange relationship with something he cut. Somebody say, you got to cut it. That's what regeneration is. You still not should be having an attitude and filled with the Holy Ghost. There are some things in you that should be cut off. You shouldn't be rejecting the word, and you should be receiving the word, because once something gets cut off, there's an openness in you that should be receptive to the word of God. It's regeneration. Some habits fall away once I get close to him. It's regeneration. You can't stay and be stubborn. Bible says he'll turn you over to a reprobated mind. Reprobated mind means that he's talking, but you can't hear him. That means you're in church, but you're not in Christ. You can shout, but you're not sanctified. There is a difference. Regeneration means he cuts off my hoish ways to make me learn how to serve a holy God. I'm sorry, excuse me, wrong crowd. He will make me change. He won't force me into it, but he will lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no old way, because I've been regenerated. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Tell somebody, say, I'm regenerated. Regenerated. So that's the first thing I know. So after that, see, the Bible's good. It's better than the have and have nots. Lucius don't have to get no dreads. Cookie don't have to wear no more fur. You don't have to follow a new episode. He'll cut off some things so you love Jesus more. The second thing I find out is that I've been transferred by conversion. So, first thing is I've been regenerated by rebirth. Second thing, I've been transferred by conversion. Mother Higgins, I feel Jesus in my soul. When you get converted, he will give you, this is a term my wife knows, he'll give you a new legal standing. He will transfer your debt to Christ. What that means is he imputed Christ's righteousness to your account. I'm trying to teach you. I really hope y'all, I don't want to give y'all no shake and bake. I want to give you something you can hold on to, because the devil's coming for you. He's coming for your mind. He's coming for your family. And you need to know I've been transferred by conversion. Righteousness to your account and declared you not guilty. Which leads me to a word called justification. The word justification means it is the action of declaring or making me righteous in the sight of God. Not me making me righteous. It is the act of declaring me righteous through him. He justified me. I didn't justify me. He justified me. I was guilty, but he wiped it clean. He cut off my past and cut it also as if it never happened. And he declared me not guilty. Someone say, not guilty. And some of you, the reason you can't praise God is because you're thinking about some of your guilty pleasures and your guilty decisions. But if any man is in Christ, oh Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 chapter 16 through 18 says, from now till now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. So what? You know my past. So what? You downloaded my Snapchat before it dissolved. So what? You saw my live streaming. My interesting part is, if you don't agree with my lifestyle, why do you comment under my live? Don't celebrate me and then crucify me at the same time. I would rather you ignore it than comment under it. Because he's justified me. Preach, Mario. He justified me. Even though we were once regarded according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore means that all that stuff I said, the reason I said it is because if anyone is in Christ, someone say in Christ. Some of you say, well, I'm in my family. I ain't talking about your family. If anyone, put that scripture back up. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. There should be something new about your life. You shouldn't still be praying the same way. You shouldn't still be worshiping the same way. There should be some newness that's happening inside of you. You might still have the same old clothes, but there should be a glow about you that says, I might be living rich, but I'm rich in Christ. I might be struggling in certain areas of my life, but when I'm in Christ, there's something new about me. It's not that I wanted to stop it, but because I got close to him, before I knew it, I wasn't even doing it anymore. There's a newness about me. I feel real hood. That's that new. Should be something that's new about you. People waiting on you to clock, and you should just text back, that's that new. They be like, new what? New habits. I don't have time for your foolishness. I would have clocked you. I would have cussed you out, but I figured out you ain't worth my time. That's that new. That's that new. I put you on block and go on and live my life, because if you were supposed to be there, you would have stayed there. But when you went through my situation and you saw me exposed, I realized you weren't for me, because if you were for me, you would cover me instead of talking about me, instead of screenshotting me. This is that new. Somebody say that new. He's a new creature. Some of you need to put that on Facebook. I'm about that new. See what they've done to me, Dr. Man. You'll see. I'm a refined. I came out of a predominantly white institution in East Jessamine High School. Being around y'all has. April, I wouldn't like this at K-State. I don't know. The old has passed. If it's passed, why are you still grabbing it? I know it was homecoming, but that homecoming wasn't for you. The homecoming was for the institution, not for you to go back and crawl into something that was old. If the thing is old, why are you sleeping with what was old? The thing was old to be there. He cut it off. Don't go back to it every time it's homecoming and say, hey, how you doing? How I'm doing, it was good until I saw you. It's old. Old things have passed. Someone say it's passed. Behold, I'm trying to teach. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ, someone say through Christ. Because none of this is possible through me. Through Christ reconciled himself. Reconciled means he made relationship through Christ, through the done work of Christ, because God cannot look upon sin. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, and he said in the Latin, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had not forsaken him, but he felt forsaken because he had taken our sins. You got to understand the cross. He had taken on my history and put it on him. God could not look on sin. His son was holy and spotless, but he had became dirty on my account. But he would not come down from the cross. He would not come down from the cross
because if he came down, my soul would be lost. So no one took his life. He gave his life because he knew that if they just put him in a grave for 3 days, when he got up, he would walk away and say, case dismissed. I have taken care of it. He reconciled. Now I have relationship with God because of the sacrifice. Don't miss this part. And he gave you the ministry of reconciliation. He's not asking you to do anything that he hasn't done. There is no reason for you to be at odds with people. There's no reason for you to be clapping back at people. There's no reason for you to be holding a grudge and being bad at somebody for years and years and years, because he took on the guilt that he was not guilty of. He paid a price that he did not have to pay, and he did it so that you could do it, so that you can lay down your gift at the altar and be able to go restore and reconcile your relationship with somebody. Because he first reconciled himself that you might be justified. Someone say, I'm justified. Lord. So because of that, Lord, y'all got this walking spirit in me. Romans 8 chapter says this. There is therefore now. Let's read this together. Come on, 1, 2, 3. There is therefore now. Stop there. Not it will come. Not it should come. Not it may. Not if I live holy, it will. Not if I live right, it will. Because I've been reconciled, there is therefore now. Someone say now. Some of y'all don't know the nowness of your life. You can't live in today because you're remembering yesterday. But the mercy I have, it's good to see you again. The mercy I have is not based on something that I work for. It's based on what Jesus did. So because of what Jesus did, now there's no condemnation. So we say no condemnation. Condemnation means you can take me in front of any judge you want to. Bring up everything you want to bring up. But because I'm in Christ, you can't condemn me. I can't condemn myself. And some of you don't know how to live in your nowness because you keep staying in a place that Christ is not. He does not live where religion thrives. Religion thrives to tell you what you have not done. Christ thrives to tell you, until you do it, I still love you. I love you not because of, I love you in spite of. All right. In the Roman law, an adopted child had the same position and privileges as a natural born child. So the third thing is, I'm adopted by reception. I'm not talking about a wedding reception. Reception means the action or process of receiving something sent, given, or inflicted. Reception. I've been given something. Romans 8:15. This is where we get to this word now. For you did not receive reception. I did not receive the spirit of slavery, of slavery to fall back into fear. That word received, it means you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave. You have to be careful what you catch. He did not give you a spirit of a slave. If you understood that song that Jay Sean was singing earlier, he says, you have called me friend. I don't call you a slave,
For a slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friend, so that everything that I know, everything that's going on in my life, I will give it to you. Some of you don't have a friend in Jesus. So because you don't have a friend, you're always saying, I'm trying to find my purpose. I'm just going to sleep and waking up for job, and I don't like working at rallies, but that's all I feel like I'm, I don't feel like I'm destined for nothing else. I just settle because, you know, I just feel like a slave, and that's what's wrong with you. You feel like something he didn't give you. You keep watching all these slave movies because it reminds you of your life. And you sitting there crying because you feel like Harriet. I watch history to remember it, not to live it. You have become what you're not. He's not given me, and this is helping anybody, he's not given me the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. I'm adopted, whereby I now cry, Abba, Father. For those of you who don't know what Abba means or that word, it means real daddy. And some of you have a hard time dealing with that because of your natural relationship. That's why you should run to him. One person will say, because I didn't have it, that's why I don't go to him. Another person will say, because I didn't have it, that's why I go to him. Because I never saw a real daddy, so I needed to see a real daddy. And because I needed to see a real daddy, I went to him. Because I had no father but God. That's not a sad story. That's what he helped me do because of Christ. You should give God glory that you didn't see a natural man, but you saw God the Father, and he has never left you. He's never told you he was coming to a game and didn't show up. He's never told you that he would buy you shoes and never delivered. How do I know this? He'll order your steps in his word. He'll make sure that every place you go, that he'll make sure you walk through the way. Somebody say, he's always been there. So we come into God's family by spiritual birth. I think it's this suit, y'all. We come into God's family by spiritual birth. No, I can't. I ain't going back. Because if I go back, and I got to have an organ. I can't go back without an organ. So anyhow, but I want y'all to understand this seriously, all seriousness. And I've told you this before, all seriousness. I love to hoop, I love to holler, I do. But I asked the Lord one day, Lord, make me a much better teacher than a preacher. And I had to embrace that because I know a lot of preachers that can preach you up under every chair. I can't tell you how many revivals and places I went to, they preached me into a frenzy. I was sweating and everything. And as soon as I took a shower, I still slept with somebody. Sorry, y'all ain't ready for this, because emotions, it will make you do a lot of things, but thy word have I put in my heart, that when I want to sin, even when I want to creep, even when I want to drink, even when I want to do it, the evil that I would do, I don't even want to do anymore, but I keep doing it. I say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this death? But thanks be to God who put his word in me, and all of a sudden, the evil that I want to do, I ain't doing no more, because his word is in me. Yeah. A country term is meat will make his own gravy. So, we come into God's family. Whew, shira mandaya. Itabenda. Anybody grateful for the word? Just grateful for the word. Shoot. Whew. We come into God's family by spiritual birth. The instant, someone say instant, we are born into the family, God adopts us, hear this part, and gives me the position of an adult child. So you mean I skip from infancy and go right into sonship? The instant you give God, the instant you give God your heart, he, I don't know anybody better than Clark Kent. I don't know anybody who, he goes into a telephone booth and comes out another way. But when I accept Christ, he instantly changes me. He changes me so fast I don't even recognize it. He changes me so fast I don't even have time to text to tell you. He changes me so fast I don't even get to make an update. All of I know is I looked at my hands and they look new. I looked at my feet. There was something about me, something on the inside that was working on the outside. I didn't even get to tell you, but all I know, he changed me. Just tell somebody, he changed me. I didn't even have time to tell you when he did it. He instantly. A baby cannot walk or speak, make decisions, or write checks on family's bank accounts. Aren't you so grateful for that? But a Christian, as soon as you are born again, you get to write a check. It's already endorsed. He's waiting on you to cash it. See, religion says, you can't get saved and become a preacher immediately. You got to go through classes. You got to get licensed. Then you get ordained. We have all these processes and these checks and balances. You can't get saved and then become a worship leader. Oh, no, you can't. Because you know you were, it wasn't that long ago that you were out in the world, so you got to be around the church a little bit longer because you don't know nothing yet. You're just a baby. That's what the church says. Christ says, as soon as you step in, you have all the legal rights. He gives me the right hand of fellowship. As soon as, he doesn't say go to class. He says go to Christ. So if anybody asks me, and I'm not telling you to go out there and you don't know nothing, don't take that. Because some of y'all be like, well, you know, I can start my church tomorrow. No. Because he gave some apostles, remember that? Some pastors, some teachers. Now, you have all the rights, but that don't mean you have learned enough to teach somebody else yet. If you just got delivered yesterday, you can't start a class today. You can't. That ain't about no checks and balances. That's just ignorance. You didn't preach your initial sermon, now you want to open up a church. No, ma'am. You don't even like people. You just like the applause. You got to learn how to preach when they're looking at you crazy. You got to learn how to preach when demons are staring at you and seeing what you're going to do. You got to learn how to preach when they leave and preach when they stay. Preach when they give, preach when they don't. You got to learn how to preach when they clap, preach when they don't. You got to learn how to preach in every season. And until you learn how to make your own gravy without an organ, you need to sit your happy self down. But I got benefits immediately. That's right. I got benefits immediately. Someone say immediately. Immediately. So if I had benefits immediately, what should I do? Learn how to use them. Learn. Someone say learn. If he gave me the Holy Ghost when I got saved, not later, when I got saved, what do I need to do? I need to learn how to stir it up. I got to learn how to be filled with it. I got to learn how to be empowered with it. I got to learn how to speak with it. Because when I open my mouth, he will give me another language and I'll utter my mouth. But I've got to grow into it. I just don't get it without learning. Oh, Lord Jesus. Michael, get me out of here. I got to go. So I got benefits. Someone said I got benefits. The first benefit is this. My nature changed. We aren't God's children by nature. The first thing that we learn about adoption is not by natural state. We are naturally members of a fallen race, separated from Christ. But Ephesians 2 chapter 1 through 5 says this. Lord Jesus, you were dead in trespasses and sins. I've explained that before. Trespasses mean you saw the sign, but you went anyway. You saw it say, beware. But you said, oh, I can handle it. I can be in this closed door room and I don't have to let anybody know I'm in here. I can keep, I've been celibate. I'm good. Verse 2. I'm trying, Brother Leon. I need it real quick. Come on, Brother Leon. Woo! So, in which you once walked. Someone say once walked. Following the course of this world, meaning I was enrolled in a course. A course is a college word, a collegiate word. It's something you sign up for. I enrolled for it. I paid for it. And some of you paid for what you're in. All right. Following the instructor of the power of the air. The spirit now at work, Lord Jesus, in the sons of disobedience among whom we all, someone say we all. You don't get to judge me because we were all there. You weren't born saved. You don't get to judge me because you got there before I did. We were all once lived in the passions of our flesh. All of us, me, you, all of us, carrying out the desires of the body, the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. My nature was for him to cut me off. I shouldn't even been dealt with by nature, like the rest of mankind. Verse 4 says, but God. Y'all don't know when to shout. Excuse me for a second, but you got a butt on your life. You got a butt God in your life. I was by nature that but God. But it's a conjunction word that cancels out everything that was before to say that may have happened, but meaning let's start again. That means all of that was true, but that's over now. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. That means he never gets tired of giving me another chance. He never gets tired of giving his love. Never gets tired of giving his grace. I will preach down every pew until you understand that his mercies are new every morning. He's rich in mercy. Your friends might be broke and they don't have no cash app to give you, but God is rich in mercy. Someone say mercy. Mercy means I deserved it, but he didn't give it to me. Because of his great love with which he loved me, even when I was dead in trespasses. Meaning, I stayed longer than I should have. I looked longer than I meant to. Should have left the party before it got a certain hour, but I stayed and I walked by the table that had the drinks. And I should have left when I knew I should have, but I didn't. I was dead to me. Woo, Jesus. I was dead in my trespasses, but he made me alive. Meaning I built my own casket. But when they came to view my dead body, he laid his hands on my heart. He resuscitated me and the funeral that should have happened was canceled. The programs that were supposed to give out got discarded because he walked by my casket and said, you I have made alive. Someone say he canceled it. He canceled it. You should be in my funeral, but I'm alive to tell the story that I survived it. Preach, brother. I ain't shouting because of no drum track. I'm shouting because I should be dead, sleeping in my grave. But he made old death behave. I'm alive because of Christ. Yeah.
By grace I've been saved. Look at someone, say it's grace. It's grace, it's grace. I scared everybody in the room because I was supposed to be dead. Caskets start rocking. They said, what's going on? Because everybody was waiting for me to die. Everybody was waiting for me to die in it and stay in it and never recover from it. And I was going to be a statistic and I was never going to come back from it. But I had to tell the devil, I'm back. I did not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Look at somebody, say, you can't die yet. Tell somebody who's struggling with suicide. Tell somebody who's struggling with an addiction. You can't die yet. Alcohol can't kill you. Sex can't kill you. Drugs can't kill you. You've got work to do. You got work to do. You got work to do. Christ, the hope of glory. You can't die. You're talking about my Niosi. By grace, I've been saved. I ain't gonna finish this, so. Can we give God praise for being alive? Just. It ain't that you didn't cut yourself. It ain't that you didn't put needles in your arm. It's not that you don't have something that happened in your life that should have killed you and destroyed you. It's not that you don't have the car wreck and you don't have the picture of the car wreck. But you look back on that stuff that was designed to kill you and you say, I survived it. I don't even know how it happened. And I should have died in it. I don't even know how I survived it. But thank God for his grace. Someone say, thank God for his grace. That's why I'm saved. Not because of me, but because of Christ. To God be the glory. Oh, glory. Oh, trying to teach y'all how to praise God for stuff you don't even see. We used to, you know, down in the old church, we used to say, I want to thank God for delivering me from danger seen and unseen. Do you know the devils that should have killed you? Do you know the demons that were after you, but he blocked it and he covered you? All right. All right. Last thing, I'm through. All right. Okay. So, all right, Kenan, you can come on. I'm through. Or just forget it. Just forget it. That's just one nature. One benefit. One benefit is my nature's been changed. Brandon gets mad at me when I do that because he wants me to finish it. But sometimes you can't get to the next thing because you ain't praising for the first thing. Walter Hawkins said, a wonderful change has come over me. He changed my life and now I'm complete. Tell somebody he's changed me. He changed me. Well, let me give y'all this number three. Y'all sit down. Stop it. I don't even know where my towel is. I don't even know where it is. Lord, my towel got changed. I got 6 minutes. Okay. Galatians 4 chapter 4 through 5 says, the second thing is nature changed. Secondly, my redemption was confirmed. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. I'm going to just run through this. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Under the law means the law killed me, meaning I couldn't uphold the standard of it. I tried to, but I couldn't. But he came under what was trying to destroy me. He came under it and redeemed me from it. Redeemed means that he brought me. We used to sing a song, I've been redeemed.
my whole life has changed. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. That means I've been bought back. He brought me back from what should have killed me. The last point I'm through, I'm trying to get through. The last thing is my rights have been released. John 1st chapter 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right. Someone say right. Right. Y'all remember that word right, legal standing. Right. He gave me the right to become the children of God. Can you imagine that? It's not that I deserve the right. He gave me the right. You mean to tell me people been saved years before me? I get to get in line immediately with them? And that's what's wrong with a lot of us. Because we want to judge people based on how long you've been in. I've been in holiness for years, and these new children come up here ain't even wearing skirts properly, and all of a sudden they want to get up here and be in the worship team. You ain't been there that long enough, baby. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Religion will kill you every time. But relationship gave me the right to be into his family. Ephesians 1st chapter 3 through 5. I'll just stop. If y'all keep me going, I'm going to do a revival. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Someone say every spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places, even as he chose us. That means God had you on his mind before you had him on your mind. He chose me. For some of y'all who feel abandoned, I want to speak to that. He chose you. You got to raise your head up. Just because you're single and ain't nobody chose you, he did. They just don't know the good thing you are yet. All right, let me get out of that. He chose me before the foundation of the world. That's, we have to be careful. I'm sorry. I don't want to get here. It's not political. But you have to be careful with people telling you that it was only 6 weeks old anyway. It wasn't even a, didn't even have eyes developed yet. It's all right. Chose me before the foundation of the world. At conception, he named me. Just because you don't see my form doesn't mean he doesn't. He valued me before you did. I don't want to get into that. That we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption. I don't get into that. Predestined for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Someone say it was his will. Come on, Kenan, I'm through. In the Greek and Roman world, adoption was not primarily about who brought up the child. It was devised or set up primarily as a means for children to be brought into a new family. It wasn't about just adults adopting children, but another adult could adopt another adult or child. Basically to say, I adopt you so that you might be able to have an inheritance. Wealthy people in that time would adopt poor people or poor adults or children or whatever, so that whatever they had, you could have it. We look at adoption as an adult adopts a child. In the Roman culture, they adopted people so that they might have inheritance. It wasn't about a child. It was, if you were on my mind and I chose you, you could be engrafted in. So I want to tell you, salvation is not just for young children. Salvation is for everybody, whoever believes. And as soon as you come in, you get right legal standing immediately. Immediately. Someone say immediately. I want to offer that to you today, that you belong. I know when you go to family reunions, you don't feel like it. When you go to certain functions, you don't feel like it. You feel like you got to be fake just to be in the room. But I want to tell you today, you don't have to change for him. He'll grab you and he'll change you. He'll change you in such a way you won't even realize that you were changed. And I offer Jesus to you today.
I want to take this time to thank you for your prayers, support, and generous giving that make this ministry possible. For more ways to connect, visit online at growthpointchurch.org. If you've enjoyed today's message, you can like, subscribe, share with your friends, or take a screenshot and share on your social stories and tag us at MyGrowthPoint. Until next time, keep growing.